Hi, you are with, once again, Jordan, True, Hanif, and Arshel, and this is How to Lie with Statistics, and this part of the podcast will be wrapping up the book, as we have now finished, and we're going to be focusing on Chapter 9 and Chapter 10. So, yes, now let's start with Chapter 9 and what was going on and what was talked about. So,
in chapter nine
is how to statisticulate. So, they were talking about statisticulation rather than like manipulation. So, they were talking about like this map and the use of the map in describing like the government for the states and the manipulation of the statistics. The statistical calculation, like the calculations from all the states and how they manipulated them and everything. And but they were talking about the case of like family income and everything, and the per capita income and the and how they multiplied the total by the number of family, showing like how high the income of families of certain families from small families to large families. And they were comparing the difference between the mean and the median with the statistics.
And they said the mean was used rather than the median because it was like a way of deception. Because if we use, say we add it all up, and because they were multiplying it by the family's like income, if they added it all up and then divided it by that number, it would still be high rather than the median, which is just the middle number.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes a big difference.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the questions that we were asked were to talk about the reported differences and how they may be real and they may not be real and if they should still be ignored. And how these are sort of two different situations. So we related this back to Chapter 9, and on page 102, it talks about the map. It says, the map shows what proportion of our national income is now being taken and spent by the federal government. It does this by shading the areas of the states west of the Mississippi, expecting only Louisiana, Arkansas, and part of Missouri, to indicate that federal spending has become equal to the total incomes of people in those states. It then speaks on the deception lies in choosing states having large areas, but because of the sparse population, relatively small incomes. So sort of talking about how you are looking at the whole state, but so say Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has different big cities, but then there's other rural parts of Pennsylvania where there are no people living there, so you cannot count the whole state. You have to take each city and each town. You can't just say Pennsylvania as a whole has this income when in fact there's different classes in the cities and different classes in the towns.
It kind of goes back to what we were talking about in one of our other podcasts, where like not as much lying as much as it is like withholding information.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then the second example for the differences would be once what Jordan was talking about, and this was on 104 and 105. What is the average income of American families? It speaks about how earlier in the book it talked about the 1949, the Bureau of Census says that the average income is $3,100. But if you read the newspaper story by the Russell Sage Foundation, we learned that that same year, the average income was $5,000, $5,400. We'll just say $5,000. I will cut that out. $5,000. Possibly you were pleased to learn that the folks were doing so well, which is much better than the $3,000. And then it now asks the question, now how in the world can Russell Sage and the Bureau of Census be so far apart? So once again, what True was talking about, you're looking at what True, Hanif was talking about. You're looking at the median and not really the mean of all the numbers. And the median, which is, we all know, that's the middle number. And there's, of course, the highest numbers and the lowest numbers, but the mean is what is in the middle, but that does not represent the whole data set.
Well, they're both, like, representations of center. It's just, like, mean is more affected by outliers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So then We talked about what a semi-attached figure is. And we found an article, which is by fastcompany.com, seven ways to lie statistics and to get away with it. And we learned that a semi-attached figure is stating one thing as proof for something else. In the article, they sort of talked about an example of CEOs driving a Buick more than any other brand, but what does that really prove? Showing that CEOs are some sort of authority on cars. So then True talks about...
It's kind of like... there's other, like, factors that can, like, go into that. Maybe it's just, like... It's like, let's say Buicks are, like, more expensive, so because you're a CEO, you can afford to drive that car around. It doesn't necessarily mean that because you're a CEO, you favor Buicks. It's just that you can, like, maybe...
Afford.
Yeah, like, you can afford it and other people can't.
So another example that we came up with was toothpaste. So, like, maybe LeBron buys Colgate, and Colgate's more expensive than that of a generic CVS brand. And because LeBron buys Colgate, that he has more of an authority over the brand, which relates back to the having more, the CEOs having more authority over the car brand. So then we also spoke about from the last podcast was the post hoc reasoning, which that was chapter 8, and the example was the cigarettes and how smoking cigarettes could affect your grades in school. But we talked about how there's different factors that go into that. It may not be just because you smoke cigarettes. Maybe
it's like the it might not be as much cigarettes, maybe like the crowd you're like exposed to when you're like doing that.
The crowd you're exposed to, the type of school you go to, the like the criteria that the school expects you to go by, and the workload.
Maybe stress in general. Or like living conditions, etc. It's like a lot of things that can affect. It's like that's like a very broad statement you can make. Whereas like there's a lot of other factors that can play into that.
And maybe it's not like the cigarettes are the reason for the low grades. Maybe it's the other way around. Like,
it might just be it could be
the low
like
grades
just,
are the reason for cigarettes.
Yeah, or it could just be a simple coincidence.
Or that too, yeah.
Exactly. So in chapter 10, this is now wrapping up the book, there were questions that were posed for what you're thinking should be when you're looking at statistical data and the first question that you should ask yourself.
So the first question to ask with statistics is who says so? So like who's behind the information? Is it a good reputation? And who affects the reliability of the information? So yes, anyone want to comment?
Yeah, I guess. Who is, whoever the statistician is, making, not necessarily making up data, but giving us the data, they could have a certain bias. So however they feel about the data is how we see the data, which could affect our opinion.
Especially after like what we read, like how statisticians like manipulate different data. So like you said, if the statistician is like biased, he could be like, all right, I'm just gonna take everything that supports my theory.
And the next question was, how does he know? So, like, how did he get his information? And, yeah, like, how did he know?
So, who did he poll? Did he poll a wide range of people? Did he only focus on small people? Which I think is very interesting because my mom always talks about when you hear about these polls of they polled 50% of Americans and they said this, but she was like, but I didn't get the call. So, you can tell that it's a controlled group. They always... Like, is that reliable because you're not polling a wide range of people? So talking about looking into to what the data really says and who the data is really looking at.
Yeah.
The next question was, did people respond honestly? So, like, were they, like, satisfactory? Was it, like, I mean, were the questions become satisfactory?
Well, that's just what, like, anybody in general, because people aren't always truthful, which could affect how these polls turn out.
Sometimes, like, I know some people, like, maybe don't want to answer truthfully. Like, they might have a different perception of themselves than what actually is. So it might, if you were, like, doing a survey or something, you might be like, oh, are you, it might be, even example, like, are you stingy? You might not think so, but other people might think so.
Or, like, maybe you could, like, be not you could be unsure about stuff. Like, how many times a day do you, I don't know, go to the bathroom? You might not be exactly sure how many times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, stuff like that.
It could be, like, how the question is posed. So, like, how it was worded and what how each person reads it. So, like, I may not read the same question that you're reading because of the way that I think.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Next question was, what's missing? So the most used techniques is to hide information. So, like, what's
that's
missing?
Pretty much what we've been talking about in the book.
Yeah.
Like, just withholding information.
Withholding information and sort of not lying, but
not lying,
fully.
Not being deceitful.
Right, exactly.
Did somebody change the subject at all? Like, that was one of the questions. Did somebody change the subject? Okay.
I guess how that would work, it's kind of like we were talking about before, like, the way you might be asked a question. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, it might be like, maybe you're asked a question like, would you say you maybe do things more for yourself than others? And the other one, like, are you stingy? Like, you might take it two different ways.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Mm. Like, you might not think you're stingy, but you might... like,
think you do more for others.
Yeah.
That's good.
And the last question was, does it make sense? So, is it irrational or out of context or anything? So.
Yeah.
Do you believe
like
the data?
Too.
Yeah. Do you believe the data? Do you think that it's true? Is this like realistic? Is this something that you can see people answering? So, yeah. We have now come to the end of How to Lie with Statistics. Any, like, overall thoughts of the book?
I feel like the book was a lot of stuff that we already knew.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just told to us in a way that we never learned it before.
Mm.
Like, we never, like, sat down and thought
about it. Actually thought about it,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, put it into context of real-life situations.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right, so this was True Hanif, Jordan, and Arshelle. This was How to Lie with Statistics by Daryl Huff. And we may part our ways and say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.